Great. I thought I would offer a brief introduction of our guest. He'll do a much better job introducing himself than I will. Many of you may have known of Matthew for many years. His mom, Becky, and his father, they've been on the mission field in Brazil for many, many years. I'm not going to guess how many. But you may know of Matthew because, just bringing out Becky, because she is one of the best communicators of the missionaries we have on the field. She's been good at sending out prayer letters and updates, and over the years, we got to see pictures of kids growing up and Matthew among them. And so he has been part of the ministry from really the beginning of his life. And now he himself is a pastor and serving on the mission field. And then, of course, his wife. And you can correct me if I'm wrong when you come up here, Matthew, but I believe you guys met because you were involved in the just in the ministries, right, there in Brazil. And they were married a couple years ago, 3 years ago already. Wow, it doesn't seem that long. And expecting their first little one. But we're happy to have you with us today. And also want to point out that after the service today, they'll both be sharing during our adult Sunday school hour. So even if you don't typically stay for Sunday school, I'd encourage you to come back and just hear about what God is doing in Brazil and also what God has in store for this couple in the days ahead. So, Matthew.
Good morning. We had the pleasure of being here yesterday with the WMF, and that was a good opportunity. I enjoyed participating in the men's breakfast as well, as we studied a little bit about Abraham, and that was great. I hadn't stood all the way up here. Wow, it's really, you get to see everybody. No hiding behind anyone's heads down there for you guys. That's great. Don't worry, I don't know you. I can't call you out. So, before I start here, I'm just going to get some things out of the way. We have a display in the back, and you may have taken a look at that already, but it says Paraguay on there. And you can learn all about that if you stay for the Sunday school hour. And so I'll just leave that for curiosity for you guys. But we would like to encourage you to take a prayer card. We have plenty of them. So a prayer card is essentially a picture of us and our name. But you can put this on your fridge, put it on a bulletin board, put it in your Bible, put it somewhere where when you see it, you can be reminded to pray for us as we preach the gospel and work for the expansion of God's kingdom. This little card, you can take one of these as well. This just gives you the information for you to contact us. We have a Facebook page, Able Connection. Here there's the website, aflcworldmissions.org. You can have information about giving. Here you can give online with a credit card, also with your bank account and routing number. You can set up your gifts that way, or you can send them in, and the address is here for the office headquarters. If you would like to become a supporter, a partner of our ministry, in that sense, we do have a goal to reach by June. We are trying to raise $2,000 in monthly support, so that means people who commit to giving a recurring donation each month, and that's how we are supported. That's how we get our salary. Also, the World Missions expenses as far as getting missionaries on and off the field and some ministry funds, and they get supported through donations. So here we have the breakdown of our goal for $2,000, and there are sections to fill out, giving $25 a month or giving $50 a month, 100 or 200, but It really wouldn't have to be 25 or any of these values. Whatever value you have in, on your heart and would like to partner with us, that would work. For the $2,000, that would be 200 people at $10 a month. If you think you can do $10 a month, God bless you. And we do have a couple supporters that have been faithful, giving us $10 every month. They have that coming from their bank account and coming into our mission support. And that keeps us on the field, enables us to serve the Lord in that sense. So I would encourage you to pray about that as you learn about us and the ministry we're doing. If God puts that on your heart, we'd be thrilled to have you help us fill this out and reach our goal for the financial benchmark. We have a clipboard for you to put your email address on here if you'd like to get on our newsletter. Pastor Kent mentioned that my mom has been good throughout the years communicating. That's because he's on the email list, and so the newsletters come to his inbox, and he can follow what's going on. So we try to send a newsletter out each month, and if you'd like to be on our list, you can put your name on here. So that will be back at our display table. Take a prayer card, take a connection card, sign up for our emails, and consider partnering with us financially. That'd be great. Where did my clicker go? Here it is. Mafu. Mafu is my nickname. Mafu is essentially Matthew. Just a little transliteration. In Portuguese, there's no TH sound, so that's where Mafu came from. It's not from outer space, it's just Mafu. And my wife's name is pronounced Edenai. Edenai. But she's getting used to people mispronouncing it already, so it doesn't bug her. We've been serving with the AFLC for 3 years now, officially. I've been with an AFLC missionary kid all my life, so it's nothing new in that sense. And you can learn all about us when you come to... I'm clicking through these real fast just so you get curious. When you come to the Sunday school hour. But we've been serving in Brazil these past 3 years, and now as we go forward, we will be moving into Paraguay to start serving the Lord in Paraguay, start the church there, a new mission field. And we're really excited about that and the opportunities the Lord has for us in Paraguay. Paraguay is one of the least, where Christianity is least expressive in South America. It's one of the more backward countries in South America due to a lot of political situations. But the gospel needs to be preached there. There are people who haven't been able to hear... Traz minha água, por favor. Haven't been able to hear the gospel. And we have a green light to go ahead to Paraguay. And we can do some Q&A at Sunday school too. I'll leave that up there for now. How have you thought about missions? What have been your thoughts when you think of mission work? What does it mean? What is missions all about? We come here, missionaries come in, a missionary comes and asks for prayer and asks for money and goes, what is missions about? How do we view that? We can define missions in a lot of different ways. The term has been defined differently. If you look at what different missionaries do, that also can be defined in various different ways. So how do we know what we're talking about? I would like to make a distinction. And not everyone makes this distinction, but I would like to make this distinction today and have you keep this distinction in mind, that we might separate missions from the local church and congregational life. Because sometimes we get to a point where you say, well, remember, you all are missionaries. And that is true in the sense that you all have people to reach with the gospel. But that's basically the definition of being a Christian. As a Christian, you are called to bear much fruit. You are called to share the gospel, to be salt and light. We have all these different phrases for it, but that is essential to being part of the church. So I would like to invite you to think about missions as an effort to send someone out from the church to go elsewhere where the church is not represented to preach the gospel. So it's basically a dislocated Christian. You take them away from where the church is and you put them somewhere else. And so thinking of that, we think of crossing cultures. We think of different languages, different nations, different ethnicities, cultural backgrounds are part of what we call missions rather than just the local church, rather than just ministry. So, as we think about that, and as we work with this definition of missions being cross-cultural, going out, ascending out for the work of the church, for the work of the ministry, I would like to come back to the question. How have you thought about missions? What is its significance? Why do we do missions? What motivates missions? And I'd like to give you a little picture. In the East, in the Far East, Eastern religions, as a general rule, they have a lot of ancestor worship. There's a lot of shamanism. As we think of Hinduism and the interaction with the nothingness of emptying your mind and trying to get away out of the cycle of reincarnation. In South Korea, there's a big party, bigger than their Christmas celebration, which is a holiday that is for worshiping your ancestors. And people get together and they remember their ancestors and worship them and take offerings and sacrifices, and they're appeasing the spirits of the ancestors and asking for protection, thanking for protection and provision, and asking for protection and provision. And they are worshiping their ancestors rather than worshiping the one true Almighty God. In South Africa, I was in South Africa on my internship from college, and there's a people called Xhosa. I can't quite say it. Their language has clicks. It's really interesting because are like letters. But the Xhosa people, the Xhosa people, they build their houses round. One room, circular walls, because they believe that spirits dwell in corners. And so they might have a bed and it's against a wall, but it kind of bridges a gap because the wall is a circle and they have one space. Why? Because they believe that if they have corners, they're going to have spiritual oppression. And they probably will, because the spiritual realm is real. And Satan feeds into the lies and into the bondage. In the Amazon, I spent some time in an Indian village, a Yanomami village in the Amazon. In the Amazon, there are no twins. Not because twins aren't born, but because twins get buried alive because they believe that the spirits, they have a split spirit or something, and the spirits will be very angry if they don't put those kids out. Handicapped children, are also killed and not allowed to live in the Yanomami villages. Their worldview is based around fear and appeasement of spirits. Everything they do, they have some sort of superstition about it, and they live in fear. In the Middle East, and I guess much in Europe and the United States now, Muslims worship Allah, and they think that their teaching is against women, oppression of men, of women, and death to the unfaithful, death to the infidels. That's motivated by their belief system. In the United States, and in much of Europe, babies are killed for convenience. Unborn babies aren't allowed to live because of selfishness and convenience. In much of the first world, if you use that category, people are post-Christians. They have come to believe that God does not exist, or if he does, he is irrelevant. They worship stuff. Life is about getting more stuff and having more toys. Billions of people on this planet, created by God, created with a purpose, created with a calling, are not living that out. And that calls for missions. That calls for missions. A very common passage about missions, the going forth of the gospel, is Romans 10. Romans 10 verse 8 says like this: "The word is near you, it is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For Scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. There is no discrimination between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach good news." Missions. The gospel going forth. Jesus Christ for the salvation of souls. So what motivates missions? Some may be motivated by compassion. Wow, in the Amazon, babies are being buried alive. We need to preach them the gospel. Great. Cool. Compassion. People are without health care. People are without food. People are starving. People are hungry. People are oppressed. People are in slavery. People are suffering. All sorts of things. You might have an eternal perspective in mind. People are going to hell, and you have compassion because you believe that Jesus Christ came to save all who believe. And if they hear the message of the gospel, they might believe. And so you are moved by compassion. Compassion is a great motivator. But let me tell you something. Compassion only goes so far. How many of you here like reading missionary biographies? Show of hands. Anybody? We've got a couple. Missionary biographies are great. If you pick up a story You can see what God did through people's lives and get into the story and learn the characters. But a lot of missionary biographies will show you the kind of people that the missionaries have dealt with. People that aren't really very good people. People that are really evil. Compassion can run out when you find out that people who are going to hell actually deserve hell. And in our own justice system, we might find out, well, they're getting what they deserve because they're really bad people. And once we get burned enough times, our compassion might grow weak. So compassion, though it might motivate people into missions, I don't think it takes us far enough. But then you might be a very faithful person. You know, Matthew 28 said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded, and I'll be with you always." And they're like, "I am going to obey this command." And you might be motivated into missions or in favor of missions because you are an obedient disciple of Jesus Christ. He says, "I'm going to obey." And you're going to serve Jesus out of obedience to a command in Scripture. But obedience isn't all that simple. I mean, it could be really simple, but we're not all that obedient. If you think of the simple things that you have failed to obey the Lord in your day-to-day life, your personal discipline and devotion, your habits. And so if we can't even be obedient with the simple things, like being nice to your neighbor, it's doubtful to think that a sense of obedience will take you into the worst conditions, into the strongest sacrifices for the gospel. So compassion might get you quite a ways. A heightened sense of obedience might take you a little farther. They're good motivations. They're all right motivations. But I don't think they'll get you there. I don't think they'll get me there. They may well run out. Those are good motivations. There are some bad motivations. Hopefully, you good free Lutherans won't have this problem, but be motivated by guilt, by penitence or indulgence. Well, I've done a lot of bad things in my life. Now I'm going to make it right by doing some mission work and by preaching the gospel to people, and you're motivated by a sense of guilt. That is also a motivation that many throughout history have used to go into missions. But that's worse than compassion or obedience. Still won't get us there. So, what is missions really all about? Our scripture reading today, Psalm 96. And I invite you to come back there with me if you have your Bibles, or just listen. "Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord and bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day." Tell of his salvation from day to day. That sounds like missions. "Declare his glory among the nations." We've got nations. "His marvelous works among all peoples." That's near and far. All peoples. "Declare his glory, his marvelous works. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods." Our thesis for this message today I don't have it polished. Missions must exist because worship doesn't. Motivation, good motivation for missions, when compassion fails, when obedience fails, is that God Almighty deserves it. We mentioned people across the world with their different problems and their different belief systems, worshiping something as God that is not God, when God, their Creator, should be recognized and worshiped by them. Scripture, the Old Testament, very clearly paints this picture of God deserving worship from all nations. And in Revelation, it talks about one day, people from every tribe, tongue, nation, language, and family coming before the throne and praising God. God is worthy of all our praise. And not all just our praise, but He's worthy of being recognized as the one true Almighty God in all nations, by all people. He is the only one who ever created. And so we do missions because God deserves it. Jesus Christ died for the world. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus Christ died for humanity. How will they worship God? How will they enter into the salvation afforded by Jesus Christ if they do not hear the gospel? Yes, they might be terrible people who deserve to go to hell, but God loved them. Jesus Christ died to save them. And as they hear the message of the gospel and believe, they too will become worshipers of Him. And God's worship and God's glory deserves the salvation of souls, mission work. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols. All other gods are not gods at all. They are worthless idols. But the Lord, verse 5 here, the Lord made the heavens. He is the creator of all things. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. God is worthy of all praise. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the people. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Worship the Lord. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. God's glory is a motivation for missions that won't run out when our obedience fails or when our compassion runs out, because God deserves it now and forever, because God is God. I've been reading a kind of a devotional book written by C.S. Lewis, Reflections on the Psalms, and it's been very insightful. And just a couple days ago, he was dealing with the issue of justice and God's judging. Here in verse 10, it says, God will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad, let the earth rejoice, let the sea roar and all that fills it, let the field exult and everything in it. Then all the trees of the forest shall sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and all the peoples in faithfulness. And as Christians, we tend to think of God coming to judge as like the final judgment, when we will be sitting accused and found guilty. And so judgment is kind of a scary thing. And we cling to Jesus that he might be our righteousness for us. And that's a good thing. That's our general Christian perspective on God coming to judge. But the Jews, the Hebrew people, they had a very different idea. You see them, this call for God to come and judge, and we're like, why would they want that? You know, I don't want to be judged. But they're thinking about God bringing justice in the world. God bringing justice, it's more of like you presenting your case that you've received injustice, and the just judge will give you, will grant you your case. Kind of like when Jesus told the story of that unjust ruler, and there was a widow who would come, and she wanted to get her case heard, and she'd come day after day, and he wouldn't hear her, but because of her persistence, he gave her justice. And so that was somebody who deserved to receive justice and needed to have her case heard. And that's kind of how Israel sees it. The injustices in the world, the corruption in politics, the I guess something that's big here nowadays, the abortion industry. You know, Lord, when will justice come and this will end? And so this call for justice of the Hebrew people is that the evil would be done away with, and God's righteous rule and reign would take over. We want God's righteous reign. We pray in the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come. And so that's a great thing. But we don't want God's judgment falling on people who have not heard the gospel, responded to the gospel, because that means for them damnation. That means for them that they never join our team, our group of people who will be gathered around the throne, people from all tribes and nations, peoples and languages, worshiping the one true God, the creator of heaven and earth. So the urgency isn't only for the salvation of lost people, but the urgency is also to gather more people into God's worship, into exalting the Lord on high. First Corinthians 10 verse 31 says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. A call to God's worship in all we do. Colossians 3 says almost the same thing. Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, Work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive an inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. As we serve the Lord in all we do, let's think of His glory. Let's think about missions. The Word of God going out, Christians being sent out to take the gospel, the message of salvation and forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ, to other people. Not necessarily because they deserve it, because they don't, like we don't, but because God deserves it. Not because we're so obedient. Oh, look at Mafun Edinai Abel. They are obeying the Lord and going to Paraguay. I'm not all that obedient all the time. But I know God deserves it. And He has called me. And as He has called us to go, He may have called you to stay. To worship Him, to call other people to worship Him where you are, but to also enable others to be able to go and bring about God's glory. So the challenge is for you here, close by, and for far, that you might think of the peoples and the nations with compassion, that you might think of missions in obedience. But when those two fall short, you might remember that God is worth it, that God deserves it, that God is the Almighty Creator of the earth, and He won't be worshipped if people don't recognize Him. He won't be worshipped by them. And may that drive us when other things fall short. I would like to invite my wife to come up here, and I'm going to try to plug my guitar in and hope it works. But here are the words to the song we're going to sing. It's based on Isaiah. Preciso do cabo. Que tá ali na. Ali? Isaiah 43 was a prophecy predicting Jesus' death. And Jesus was the fulfillment of this prophecy. And He died to bring us grace. Jesus Christ faced the bitter wrath of God to give us grace, His sweet, sweet grace. Ele não tinha qualquer beleza ou majestade pra nos atrair. Nada havia em sua aparência para o desejarmos. Mas rejeitado dentre os homens, ainda assim carregou nossas dores. O seu castigo nos traz paz, e a esperança não se esvai.
A oferta pela culpa Ele ofereceu, pra satisfazer o Criador Ele morreu, para que a sua luz em nós pudesse brilhar. O Filho do amor se entregou em nosso lugar. Mas
rejeitado dentre os homens, ainda assim carregou nossas dores.
O seu castigo nos traz paz e a esperança não se esvai. A oferta pela culpa ele ofereceu, para satisfazer o que a dor ele morreu, para que a sua luz em nós pudesse brilhar. O Filho do amor se entregou em nosso lugar. És o Cordeiro que pelos nossos pecados foi esmagado, sem dizer uma só palavra, se entregou aos cravos, derramou sua vida até a morte, provando a ira amarga, pra nos dar sua doce graça e nos fazer viver.
Lord, we thank you for your sweet, sweet grace. We thank you for the cross. We thank you that all who hear your word and have faith, who are awakened by faith to trust in you, have eternal life. These people enter into your kingdom and become worshipers of the one true God. And we pray, Lord, that we might be involved in this mission. First of all, to worship you, and then to bring others into the worship of you for your glory and our good. In Jesus' name.